from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. This is a time of hope.
I am the church, you are the church.
We are the church together.
We depend on our seniors and longtime members to remember where we came from and where we have been.
We are the church together.
We depend on our children to retell our sacred stories as they grow.
We are the church together.
We depend on our youth and young adults to ask us why we do things this way and to suggest something new. We need each other to be the church.
We are the church together, so let us worship
together. We join in the prayer of the day for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Generous God, your Son gave his life that we might come to peace with you. Give us the share of your Son, and in all we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, open our lips.
Our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Our children's time is led by Joanne Cantrell.
Yeah, good morning. All right. We've had a good week, haven't we? Lots of playtime this week. It's been nice outside. Yesterday was really nice, wasn't it? Have you ever joined a club? Anybody here belong to a club? Anybody? Yeah, okay. Do you belong to a team? Yeah, some of you belong to teams. Would you like to make a club? I think we could. You belong to one here at church. ROC. What does ROC stand for? What does it stand for, Hunter?
Reaching our kids.
Reaching our kids. Well, in today's Bible scripture, it talks about if we're not for something, we're against it. Now, what does that mean? If we're not for something, we're against it? Ooh, that's strange. And if we're against something, we're not for it. So like it's like a team. Two teams playing each other. Each one wants to win, right? Well, in the Bible, today's scripture lessons today, it says that there was people out praising Jesus and casting out demons. Ooh, what would that be? Making people better, right? Healing them. And the disciples came up on him because, you know, the disciples was Jesus' team, right? Those 12 people, they were a team, our club. And they said, stop doing that. Only Jesus can do that. And they thought they were so proud of themselves. And they went back to Jesus and they said, there was people out there doing things that only you can do. And he said, we told them to stop. And he said, what? What'd you do that for? Why'd you do that? Because if they're doing things in my name and they're talking about my father and your father, then they're doing good. So don't stop them. We want us to encourage them. Help them do that. Get them to talk in my name and cast out demons and make people better. And he said, that's why they say, if you're not for me, you're against me. That's why Jesus said that. He said, if you don't believe in me and you don't want to do things for me, then you don't believe in Jesus. So we're going to form a club right here, right now, okay? And what we're going to do is go out and tell everybody about Jesus because we are for Jesus, aren't we? So if we don't say things for Jesus, then we're against Jesus. So let's make a club right now. Everybody say this together. I'm for Jesus. Right on. Now let's say our prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the love you give us. And please help us to go out into the world and show that love to everybody and be for you and not against you. Amen.
Our anthem, Be Bold, Be Strong, is by our children's choir, God's Singers. It's directed by Connie Bestian. Our Old Testament reading is by Bob Berger, followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, Lines in the Sand, by Pastor Maul.
Please join me in prayer for illumination. Calm us now, O Lord, into quietness that heals and listens. Open wounded hearts to the balm of your word. Speak to us in clear tones. We might feel your spirits leaping for joy, skip with hope, your resurrection witness. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today is from Numbers chapter 11. There are three different readings from chapter 11. The first one is 4 through 6. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." The second reading is from verse 10 through 16. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why hast thou dealt ill with thy servant, and why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou dost lay the burden of all this people upon me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I bring them forth that thou should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child to the land which thou hast swear to give their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If thou wilt deal thus with me, kill me at once, if I find favor in thy sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." And the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tents of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." The last reading is from verse 24 through 29. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them round about the tent. Then the Lord came down to the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was upon them and put it upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did so no more. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses forbid them." And Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Here ends this lesson.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. And John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, 'Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. And whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell. It is to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone who will be salted with fire, salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have been to San Antonio, Texas, you may well have been to the Alamo. The tradition and legend has it that during the final hours of the siege of the Alamo, Colonel William Travis assembled the men under his command. And there was also General Santa Anna, who was flying the red flag for the Mexican command of no quarter, announcing that no prisoners would be taken and every rebel would be killed when this mission turned fortress was taken by the Mexican army. So Colonel Travis drew his sword, and with it he etched a line in the sand of the Alamo's courtyard. And only those willing to face certain death, if they failed, were called to cross the line and join in the final battle. So after a tense moment of silence, Colonel James Bowie, bedridden from some earlier wounds, asked for his men to carry his cot across the line. He just simply said, "Gentlemen, I appear to be on the wrong side of the line." And he went with Colonel Travis to defend the Alamo. Well, ever since the fall of the Alamo, that expression, drawing a line in the sand, has been with us. And it's conveyed the necessity of making a choice. Certainly our gospel for today challenges each one of us to determine, on which side of the line do you wish to take a stand? You know, last week, the disciples had this argument as to which one of them was the greatest. So today, if we wish to stand on the right side of the line with Jesus, he has something else that will help us along the way. We could sum up these happenings and comments with three B words. And by B word, I don't mean bored. But the first word is going to be tolerant. Be tolerant. It centers on this line, whoever is not against me is for me. The disciples were reporting, you know, someone was casting out demons in Jesus' name. And Jesus' disciples may have felt, you know, well, who is in charge here anyhow that this is going on? I mean, things are getting a little out of hand. So today's passage from Mark tells how several of them noticed this man was casting out spirits and demons in Jesus' name. Now, as strange as these words may sound to us today, you know, such a thing was not unusual for that place and time. And what does seem unusual is that the healer is some of the disciples did not really recognize, they had never heard of. And yet there he was, commanding demons in the name of Jesus to come out. You know, they looked at him and he isn't a card-carrying member of the traveling band of disciples. He has no license, no seminary degree. What this man is doing is wholly unsanctioned by the larger organization. Stop him, Lord, the disciples would argue. And if it had been today, they might have continued to call the legal department
file an injunction, charge him with having copyright infringement and violation, anything to block this scoundrel from poaching on our territory. Well, this is one of those situations that seems made for the phrase, cooler heads prevailed, and in this case, the cooler head belonged to Jesus. Jesus says, well, don't worry, don't stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. See, Jesus says here, what is the problem? This person is not doing anything against me. No harm done. In fact, perhaps there was some good done. It's not much different than if you offer a cup of cold water in my name to someone who thirsts. In the situation then in our first reading for today is sort of right along this line. The people had gathered, they were whining, the W word that we have sometimes, that whining word. And Moses was leading them from Egypt to the promised land. Food was scarce. Well, it was plentiful, but it was the same old stuff all the time. Manna, manna, manna. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack, whatever. And so they longed for the food from Egypt. Fish and cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. Well, Moses joins the crowd, and he goes and whines and complains to God. If this is the way it is going to be, I may as well be dead now. I've had it. He was burned out. So God says, okay, settle down, Moses. Go choose for yourself 70 others who will help you, which he went and did. He gathered some people to be his helpers. You know, that's not so much different from church life today. It takes many people to get everything done. The consistory can't do it all. You know, some other groups can't do it all. And so we really have to say, you know, thanks to all of the people who do volunteer with their help and services. See, it takes all of those cups of cold water and do and the things that we do around us in order to have things taken care of for us as well. But now comes the be tolerant part in this reading. Two people, Eldad and Medad, were not in the group, but were prophesying in God's name. And people were complaining. And Moses said again, well, what's the problem? It would be great if all people were prophets and would have that spirit of God placed in them to go out and share. Yes, the first thing we learn as we cross the line in the sand then is to be tolerant of one another. We may not all do things the same way, but be tolerant. We find diversity in one another, but we hopefully also find acceptance. So be tolerant. Well, the second B word that we would have here is to be disciplined. Be disciplined. He brings up the subject of causing stumbling blocks. At first, it was causing the stumbling block for others. And he especially uses this example of a little child again. We might cause stumbling blocks along the path of their Christian faith and may not really want to. He says, if you cause them to stumble, it would be better if a millstone was around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Well, that sounds pretty severe, doesn't it? But death by drowning was a Roman practice of the day. But the Jewish people would not even think of it. That was a severe suggestion. So in life, be an encourager of people and not a stumbling block. And try to help people rather than hinder them along the way. That's one of the things about being disciplined. And then it's also to bring discipline to our own personal lives. Because we might be a stumbling block to ourselves. And there's some interesting words that were said here. And we say, it says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you a problem and stumble, tear it out. That sounds pretty gruesome, really, coming from our Lord's lips. Well, there was a sermon title another pastor once used with this text. And he entitled it, "What Do You Do With the Axe?" He said, I've thought about holding up an axe and walking up and down the aisle of the church and asking for volunteers. Does your hand cause you a sin? Well, let me take care of it for you. Chop, chop, it's gone, see? You know, do your eyes cause a problem? Well, come over here. We'll take care of that. Chop, chop, you know, so forth. He said, I've thought of that would be a good object lesson. But he says, you know, I've never done it. You know, I'm afraid it might be a little offensive to the people, and I think we might feel the same. But the point is, be disciplined. See those things in ourselves that keep us from being faithful followers of our Lord. And then do something about it. We can make an about face in our lives and remove those things that cause ourselves to stumble along with it. So be disciplined as we deal with other people, as we deal with ourselves. Now the last B word, and that was be salty. We know that salt purifies and preserves. It adds zest and flavor to life. You know, pass the salt is a common expression at our tables. In the days before refrigeration, salt was used to preserve, especially meats. And the disciples would be facing persecution. And so instead of being stumbling blocks, they needed to go out and purify themselves and preserve themselves. Same for us. Have salt the friendship with others that we meet in life. Whether it be at work, school, home, or out on our job, wherever it might be. Let us have salt for one another. And I like the last line of this text. It says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Be at peace with one another. See, then salt will be a preservative for ourselves. Sometimes we talk in terms of people having salty language, and we mean it in a way that's really not so good. That is being colorful in a bad way. But to be a salty Christian is a good way. Live as salt of the earth. Then we are useful as salt would be useful indeed in life. So we say, draw that line in the sand and step over to the proper side. And when we do, then we'll find that we will be tolerant people. We will be disciplined people, and we will be salty people. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Today and every day, be salty Christians, take care of one another, knowing that each of you is a gift of God and a gift to this community and to the world. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.